Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Welcome to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, publisher of the beloved Aspire magazine, inspiring women to live from the inside out since 2006. You know, it wasn't until I started diving deep and going inward that I actually began to change my life. Many of you know the story of former welfare mom, high school dropout, runaway. I realize now for many years I was running away from myself. I didn't want to be with myself. And that's when mindfulness and meditation and conscious living came into my life. And there's a woman that I have been following for quite a number of years. We've been connected and circling up, and I am so grateful that she's joined me today. Her name is Janet Nestor. She's a wife, mother, grandmother, author of self-help and mindfulness books. She's also a licensed clinical mental health counselor and has a diplomat in comprehensive energy psychology and energy medicine practitioner. And her latest book is called Pathways to Wholeness, Connecting to the Power of Now Through Mindful Meditation. And I am so thrilled to welcome you here today, Janet.
I am very thrilled to be here, Linda. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, I was thinking we've been connected for quite a few years now, my friend.
I was actually trying to think about when that was. It actually was before 2012 because it's been at least 10 years or more.
Yes. And so you're a holistic and integrative licensed mental health counselor. For those who are listening, what does that mean, holistic and integrative?
Well, I'll start with integrative. Integrative means a mixture of modalities, not just within the counseling, different ways of counseling, but integrating energy psychology, integrating nutrition, maybe medications, yoga, whatever, using all of the modalities, the health modalities to create a better outcome. So that's what integrative means. Holistic means a lot of people think that it means that no medicine's allowed, but really it means a much more than that. It does mean a natural approach to mental health. So we try everything that we can through counseling and through nutrition and through whatever is necessary for that person before we try medicine. But we're certainly not, holistic practitioners are certainly not against it, because we realize that at times that we've all had situations where medicine was absolutely necessary. So I want to take that off of the table. But holistic therapists just see mental health as a broader issue. We do not use diagnoses often. We look at the person and the whole scope of the person and every area of their life. So it's just not about the symptoms. It's about the whole person and how they can be better, feel better inside and out, and be more integrated into their life and all of society. So
I love that description. I just energetically, that aligns with me. So when did you start incorporating the energy psychology, because you have an energy medicine practitioner?
Mm-hmm.
What called you to start incorporating that in the work that you do?
Well, when I went back to school in the middle of my life, to do the counseling degree. And I was so lucky in my program to have a guide in my program who, an advisor who was holistically minded. I never thought that would happen, but he was. And so he introduced me to a lot of things. But when I began my internship, I was having supervision outside of the classroom. The woman that I worked with was practicing energy psychology, which was very unusual in the late 1990s. And so I learned a little bit of thought field therapy from her, a little bit of emotional freedom technique. And I actually went to an Eastern United States ASEP conference with her. That conference doesn't even exist anymore. It's a national program. And that was the beginning of it all. And I've really never turned back. I love the process. It is a brief therapy, so it shortens therapy for almost everybody. And it helps people who do have really deep issues or traumas to work through them with less crisis in the process. So it's a wonderful modality.
Now, I believe in the power of energy medicine. So it's life-changing.
It is.
So, has mindfulness and mindful meditation always been part of your practice, or was that an evolution of seeing things in your clients that led you to start really, you know, diving into that and being your main, one of your main focuses?
That's a great question. My first meditation teacher, I guess, was probably in the 1980s. I was already teaching special education, and my students were just struggling so much with stress at home and at school and in friendships. And I'm thinking, okay, this classroom, there has to be more to this. There has to be a better way or a different way to approach these young people who are really finding life difficult, because I was a special education teacher working with kids with learning differences and sometimes physical disabilities. And I just began to search, right? So I began to search in the holistic way a little bit. I went to some classes that taught a little bit of hypnosis, that taught a little bit of meditation and a little bit of this and that. And I would bring it back to my classroom, and it changed the whole dynamic, because it changed the way kids feel about themselves, or how they look at life, when they know that the person who's there with them is not criticizing, is not judging, not judging them. And it really made a difference in the progress that my students made. So that's how I got into meditation. And then later I started taking Tai Chi classes, and that was the beginning of an addiction, a positive addiction. But the walking meditation came from Tai Chi walking that we learned in class. And my teacher would say, you gotta practice it. So I would go, I had a beautiful greenway near my house. So I go down to the greenway and hope there weren't a lot of people walking so that I could practice my walking, Tai Chi walking. And I thought, you know, I'm going to do this, but I'm going to speed it up just a little bit. And I thought, okay, this makes a great, I would feel so calm and so comfortable after the Tai Chi walking. I just sort of began to make it on my own, a meditative walk. And I thought, oh my gosh, I've discovered something new.
I can just feel the energy, right, of how grounded it must feel.
Yes.
I love my morning nature walks with Dana around the pond. We conservation land abuts our property. And mm-hmm. there's a path that goes right around the water. And a lot of times we walk in silence, just taking it all in.
Absolutely.
And it's been a beautiful part of just a nice way to start our day, because it's usually right after sunrise when we go, mm-hmm. When the weather allows anyway. So that's a beautiful story. And I just love how we're always being led, right? When we pay attention, we're always being led to the next healing part of our journey.
Absolutely. And honestly, walking meditation, it really did change my life, because it not only did I enjoy the walking meditation, but I enjoyed the resting meditation that I would do after my walks. So I would go for probably half hour, 45 minutes, sometimes longer walk. And then I come back and I go upstairs and in my office, which I could look out the window. There's a big tree outside. It was very pretty. And I would do a resting meditation. So I was meditating about 2 hours every morning. And I wish I could say I was doing that now, but I don't do that particular program right now, but it really did change my life.
I can hear that in your voice. We're going to take our first break and we'll be back in a moment. We're going to continue this inspiring conversation with Janet Nestor. You can learn more at mindfulpathways.com. We'll be right back, my friends.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Inspiration for a woman's soul. Aspire Magazine, inspiring and supporting women on the path of self-discovery. Claim your free digital subscription today, which includes access to thousands of dollars of personal development bonus gifts from Team Inspiration Partners. Claim your Aspire Magazine subscription today at subscribetoaspire.com.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Consistently attract soulmate clients, begin showing up on brand, monetizing on your calling. Welcome all spiritual coaches, leaders, healers, lightworkers, and practitioners to a show that turns you on in your business and amplifies your magnetism. I'm host, catalyst, and spiritual business coach Rosalind Fung, and I'm here to journey with you into the juicy and help you discover where the real gaps are. Ignite your mindset and soul with strategies and systems as each episode takes you to the sweet spot that activates your soulgasmic business by tuning in on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. Mountain. Join me for your light language activation and let's magnetize and monetize.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm Linda Joy. With me today is Janet Nestor, author of her latest book, Pathways to Wholeness, Connecting to the Power of Now Through Mindful Meditation. So Janet, what led you to write the book? Because you've been on this path a long time.
I have. That's kind of a funny story, because I was always, I was already doing the walking meditation, and I was beginning to teach a little bit of it to my clients, to the people that I worked with, and one of them owned a horse farm. And she said, Janet, why don't we have a little retreat on my horse farm and you can teach walking meditation to a whole group of us? So I thought, okay, I'll do that. I was very excited. I said, but I think we need a handbook. I think I need to write some things down and bring it with me. That was the beginning of Pathways to Wholeness. The first book.
There's no accidents, my friend. There's no accidents. I love that you follow the breadcrumbs, you know, the spiritual breadcrumbs.
Mm-hmm. What
saying
do you mean?
To the retreat, then saying, oh, well, I got to get this on paper, and then watching it unfold to become a book. So yes. If someone picks up your book, what can they expect to learn from it?
Oh, I hope I hope what they learn is that none of us are broken. No matter what we have experienced in our lifetime, no matter the issues we have, whether they're health or physical health or mental health, we have whatever is going on in our life, we are never broken. And I hope if they take one thing away from the book, I hope it's the sense of wholeness and the sense of hope. I think it's a very empowering book. It's written to be a very empowering book. It is easy to read, but I think it's a book that you read a little bit at a time, take it in, maybe even try some of the exercises or activities that are inside. Maybe, you know, try a little breathing meditation, try a little walking meditation, and kind of build your own practice or your own habits just by reading this book, I think.
That's wonderful. And I know a lot of women in my community, because I've had different conversations with them. They go, oh my God, I am so busy. I don't have time. And I always say, the busier you are, the more this is going to be a priority.
Absolutely.
So in the book, do you share practices that even a busy woman could incorporate into a life?
Absolutely. Anybody can do walking meditation. You can do walking meditation walking out to your mailbox. You can do walking meditation at the aisles of the grocery store. It's not like you have to have a greenway or a beautiful place to walk to do it. You can do it anywhere. It's just a matter of remembering to practice, right? Remembering, oh, I can do a few steps. I know when I was writing the book, on rainy days, I would, the way my house that I was living in at the time, I had a path. I had a little circular path that I can walk. And I remember on rainy days, I would do that. I would just walk that little circular path inside my house. But breathing meditation, which I talk about in the book, everybody breathes, right? So it's with us all the time. All we have to do is just, sometimes when you're stressed or something, you'll just sit down and take a few deep breaths and try to relax yourself. That's the beginning of a breathing meditation, if you want it to be. All breathing meditation is just conscious breathing. That's all it is, conscious breathing.
So when you say walking meditation, is there a mantra or something you are using during that process? So describe where your thoughts are as you're walking.
In the beginning, I think I was counting, and I still teach people to count when they walk, because I like to combine conscious breathing and walking. And so it's like, I would say, I take two or three breaths. So it's like one, two, three, and then take you're walking in a rhythm. So I like to use counting sometimes. And I still do at times when I do a walking meditation, but lots of mantras. If you want to say home now or relaxing now, that's that's one footstep, one full footstep. If you want to lengthen your footstep, you just add a few words. I am home now. I am relaxing now. I am calm now. It just depends on the speed of your meditation, and the length of your steps is regulated by how many words you say, or how many counts that you how many counts in between your steps. So I think it's just the rhythm of it that is almost hypnotic, honestly.
Yeah, I remember when I was healing from, I just had a couple of surgeries. I remember going for walks and I would do an affirmation. So I guess that was mindful.
Absolutely.
Meditation, I would be going, I am whole, healed,
yes,
and fit in each step. And it became almost like you could feel the cadence.
Absolutely.
And it's funny because then I'd go, I am whole, healed, and fit. And like it became almost like it ignites something within me. So that is what you mean. Like that was my mindful meditation, walking meditation.
Absolutely. That was a beautiful walking meditation. And you can use any affirmations. You know, we are, every day we go out to do a walking meditation or every day we get up, you know, we're in a little different mood. We may feel a little different physically. We may have a busy day. We might have a relaxed day. So why not pick your mantra by how you're feeling on that particular day, right? Or what your needs are on that particular day. And I know it might be just relaxing, calming, soothing, calming. And if you're just in that rhythm, pretty soon you're going to be soothed and relaxed, right?
Oh, I know it does it for me. It's almost, I like going after I close out my day. So mm-hmm. I usually end my day by 2-ish, sometimes 2:30, and if I have the time, like today I'm leaving to go get my granddaughter off the bus, but I love to close up my day. I live in the middle of the woods on a beautiful dirt road a half mile in, so I go to the mailbox and back, which is a mile. It's how I close out the energy of the day and drop back into my body and out of my head. So that's
beautiful.
What, yes, you would call mindful walking meditation. Again, it's being conscious of the moment, correct?
Definitely being conscious of the moment. And mindfulness, you know, the whole idea of mindfulness is to live consciously in the moment, right? Just to become aware. So I think the first step in mindfulness is to just start trying to be in the moment, be conscious of what you're doing, be conscious of what you're saying, even be conscious of what you're thinking, because thought processes are a very important thing in positive living, right? So being conscious, and then as we become more conscious, we become more aware, not only of ourselves and of our bodies and our sensory system, but, you know, how we feel and everything like that, but conscious of other people around us, conscious of our environment, conscious of other things going on in the world. We just become more conscious. And I think that's the goal. You know, when we connect to ourselves, when we connect to nature, when we connect to life, we just gradually become more mindful, more conscious, more kind, more loving, more joyful. It's a process. And that's what I love about it. It's a process.
Yeah. And what I also love about it is anyone can do it.
Anywhere
within create space. Because one of the things I remember I struggled with, I've been on this path 31 years. So I'd say it was probably 30 years ago. I'd read all these books when I first, you know, got on my journey, like you have to meditate, you have to do this. And I was one of those that in my mind, I believed meditation meant you had to sit on a cushion, you know, in a yoga pose and be still and still your mind and my energy, that I could never do it. So of course, what would happen is shame and self-judgment of, because I'd hear everybody talking about meditating, and because I had a preconceived notion of what that meant for 2 decades, I was mm-hmm. like, oh, that's not me, I can't do it. And then one
right.
day, Janet, and you'll understand this, I was at our other house here on the water, and one day I was washing dishes, and I was just watching the birds in the bird feeder, and I was just hand washing. I still love to do that sometimes. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, about 5-6 minutes in, I realized time had just gone by, and I'm like, oh, I I think I was just meditating. And then, swear to God, that's what it felt like. And then like epiphany came through me. I go, I get it now. I get it. It's being so fully present in the moment and not in your head. And that's the moment the whole idea of meditation completely transformed for me. And I then in that same moment realized, Linda, you've been meditating for years in the way that is aligned with you. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean sitting cross-legged on a cushion, you know, doing mudras. So have other people, like clients come in going, I can't meditate.
Jenna, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, anything can be a meditation. Eating can be a meditation. Taking a bath can be a meditation. Taking a shower can be a meditation. Like you said, washing the dishes can be a meditation. Mowing the yard, anything can be a meditation. It's how we approach it, right? If we approach it and enjoy what we're doing, I will tell you what the first time I experienced that, I was in Tai Chi class, and we were in a building that had a big parking lot, and someone's burglar alarm went off on their car right in the middle of class, and the teacher said, okay, we're just going to keep going. And I don't remember what we were doing. I think we were doing standing meditation at that time. And he said, we're just going to keep going, keep doing what we were doing. And I don't know, 20 minutes later, whatever, he said something to us, and we sort of all came back to life. And not one person in that room knew when that car horn stopped blowing.
Yes. Like I can feel that. I can tap into that energy. That's so beautiful. Yeah. It's in every moment. Janet, we're going to take our next break and we'll be back in a moment, my friends. I am with Janet Nestor. Learn more at mindfulpathways.com. We'll be right back.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
My beautiful friend, it's time to say yes to yourself so you can start consciously creating a life that lights you up. You've been at the end of your never-ending to-do list for long enough. Carrie Wooden, certified therapeutic art, life coach, and law of attraction and desire factor coach, works with women like you who have forgotten what brings them joy and are ready to say enough to moving through life on autopilot. Through Carrie's empowering private sessions and supportive group programs, you'll learn the tools and processes to ignite your creativity, uncover your blocks, connect with your inner voice, and make decisions based on joy and alignment instead of should and have to's. Take the first step on your path to reclaiming your joy. Schedule your complimentary joy empowerment session at carriewooden.com.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
Hey, hon, what you doing with your phone? Taking pictures?
No. I'm asking you questions.
Like what?
Hey, Bobo, do flowers have best friends?
I'm sorry. I'm afraid I don't know that.
Hey, follow me. I want to show you something. Look, flowers do have best friends.
Whoa.
Some answers can only be found in nature. Discover the unsearchable. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a trail near you. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
You're listening to Inspired Conversations. Thanks for circling up with me and special guest Janet Nestor today. So Janet, that we were just talking about how it's about being in the moment. And right. I love that you said every moment can be a meditation. It's about, I'll say how it feels in my own body. for the first three decades, I was always up in my head. I wasn't fully present at all. I didn't see what was around me. I was always up there. And it wasn't until I learned how to come into my body, into my heart, that I was able to get it, right? To be present. And now it's all the little things. It's all the little things. So I feel like I live a daily meditative practice because I do it in all the little moments.
That's exactly what you're doing. You know, as long as we're physically present in the moment, you know, I like to say, you know, when the past falls away, when the future falls away, we're there, right?
Yeah.
We're in the moment. And we can do that moment by moment. We don't have to do that a half hour at a time. We can just do it moment by moment. And I think that's the important part of it. But Tai Chi is one of the most incredible modalities to help us learn or to train us to stay in our bodies. Walking meditation is a process that grew out of Tai Chi. It is a type of, it's almost a form, right? Just like Tai Chi is a form. And so that's the blessing of walking meditation. As you're doing it, and you get into that rhythm, you're doing a mantra or you're counting, you're concerned about your feet touching the earth. You're concerned about how your footsteps feel on the surface of the earth. You're focusing on your breathing and how you're feeling in the moment, and everything falls away. Everything falls away. The process brings you into your body and out of your mind. And that's the beauty of any meditation, but with walking meditation, it's built into it. I know I tell my people that I work with that any kind of any type of moving meditation is the best way to learn to quiet your mind. Breathing is a moving meditation because it requires physical body movement. You got to inhale, exhale. That makes it a moving meditation. But I also teach a moving meditation called shaking and breathing. And I do that a lot with people who have busy, you know, monkey minds, people with maybe ADHD or something like that. And everyone is always shocked that after, I don't know, 10, 15 minutes of the meditation, it's like, I always hear, oh my gosh, my mind is quiet. I don't know if my mind has ever been quiet. How did that happen? We were, you know, we had music playing. We were shaking our bodies. How did that happen? Well, it happened because we were totally in our body, not thinking about anything except what we were doing in that moment. And it is such a beautiful moment, such a gift, just such a beautiful gift when you're quiet for the first time. You know, remember that, Linda? Just that quietness for the first time, when your mind is still for the first time. When that hope, you know, kind of springs within you, oh, I might be able to do this. I might be able to get rid of this anxiety. I might be able to change my life. And moving meditation is a real gift to people who have those kinds of experiences with their life, with, you know, a chattering mind or not being able to concentrate or focus. It's a true gift.
I'm so glad you brought that up too, because my anxiety, I was anxious, depressed for those first 30 years. It was just a constant feeling inside. Yes, some was from childhood stuff, but I gotta say, like, my anxiety has been under control for 15 years and such a peaceful place. And the other thing I noticed that mindfulness and various practices helped me with is many years ago, if anything was going on in my life, whether it was someone I love's life or a diagnosis of somebody, you know what it is, other people's dramas, I was always like a weeping willow tree and swung all over the place, right? Because I would go into my head and my thoughts and the what ifs and the anxiety. And now in the last few years, Dana's double diagnoses, my two surgeries, over 33 months, no one could believe, but they witnessed, I was the oak tree. Because I stayed fully present in my body and in my heart and not in the what ifs that the mind likes to bring us on. And I will say that's one of the greatest benefits that I witnessed in my own mindfulness practice, is I am able to stay in my truth, which is heart, soul, my own energy, and not get drawn into the other stuff. Has your clients also felt that same shift within? It's like I became the witness.
That's exactly right. That's a perfect word. We become a witness to our own lives. And that in itself is a blessing, right? Because we get to know ourselves. We get to know who we are. We get to know what we want from life. We just learn, everything there is to learn in those quiet spaces. Knowledge just begins to flow to us. Wisdom begins to flow to us because we've opened that gateway in our mind that has been closed before because of the chattering mind, because of the anxiety, or because of our worries. And I think that's one of the blessings of mindfulness practice too. We learn to let go of the self-judgment, let go of the self-criticism, let go of the unworthiness, because this practice says that you're okay the way you are, that if you want to change, this is a pathway that you can use. It's not the only pathway, but it's a pathway that you can use. It's easy to use. Everything about walking and breathing meditation is we do it anyway. You know, there's really nothing to learn other than to learn to be a witness for ourselves. Yes, that's beautiful. I'm glad you used that word.
Yeah, that's what it feels like to me. And now, like, and I share this part with my clients, because everybody has thoughts, fears, self-doubts that rise to the surface. And I say, listen, if you stay up there in the head, you're going to go down a path that is only going to bring you more anxiety, pain, discomfort. I said, I guide them to put their hand on their heart and say, is this the truth of who I am? Which, you know, are those what ifs, those thoughts, the anxiety. And what I, for myself, what happens when I do that is that immediately takes me out of my head and into my heart. And so the answer, when your heart is answering, the only answer can be, no, that those thoughts are not the truth of who I am. So it's almost like you witness the thoughts and then you make the choice of, do I own these thoughts? And we get the choice. We don't have to own the thoughts that rise to the surface. And that has been so healing for me. I've taught my grandchildren. I have a grandson that's going to be 23. My little one is, granddaughter is going to be 12. And I've taught them these things all their lives because I don't want them to have, I want them to know they have the power within. And so that's what your work is about, is showing women and all people, not just women, that within them is the resource they're looking for to find inner peace.
Everything that we need is built into us. We come into this life with everything that we need. Our body is wired, literally wired for joy through the meridians. And, I always tell people, especially if we're talking about a spiritual path or whatever, it's just like, why would we be here if we didn't have a way to phone home?
You know? Oh, I love that.
Why would we be here if we weren't here for a purpose? You know, we're all here for a purpose. We all have things that we've come to learn in this lifetime. And the best way for us to learn it is to begin to live a mindful life, and quiet our minds and bring more clarity to ourselves. The gift of this path, and the book is Pathways to Wholeness, but the gift of this path is the blessings that come along the path. You know, you learn to hear the birds, as you said, you learn to see the butterflies, you learn to see the small joys in life. Not necessarily, you know, we all know the big joys, right? But every day is filled with a, you know, 100 joys. We just, we're not built to take them in, but our body is wired, our sensory system is wired, our physiology is wired to allow awareness, to allow mindfulness. We just have to learn to put it all together. And it's not that hard, you know, because we all come equipped. We all come equipped with everything that we need to live a happy, peaceful, empowered life.
So true. I tell my clients, you're divinely wired from birth.
You have
all
you
need. Yes, you have all you need within, whatever this name you call your source, your source of love, whatever it is that you turn to. You were created. You were created with everything you could possibly need. And it took me almost 50 of my 60 years to realize that. And then once I did, I was like, let me clarify that. Because 17 years ago, when I had the vision to start Aspire magazine, which came to me in a vision, I didn't want to start a magazine. I knew nothing about starting a magazine or publishing. But I knew in a soul level that it was mine to birth. Mm-hmm. And now I see why. But I remember saying, if I'm going to start a magazine and this vision in my heart, it was going to be to inspire women to live from the inside out. So yes. Never in all 17 years have I ever published content like, do 20 leg lifts to reduce cellulite, right? Get a facelift and anything like that. Everything is about inside out. And I believe personally that that decision was because I also needed to dive deeper into living from the inside out. So I like to say Aspire gave birth to me as much as I gave birth to her, because it was this innate knowing that that's what women needed. But at the same time, my soul knew that that's what I needed too.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but isn't that amazing how our soul does know and how things come to us, like, you know, this is what I need to do. This is my path. It sometimes the path just shows up, right? And then we have to be the person that decides to walk it.
Exactly. And Janet, we're going to jump on our last break and come back for our last segment. We will be back in a moment, my friends. I'm with Janet Nestor. Be sure to visit mindfulpathways.com and grab a copy of Pathways to Wholeness. We'll be right back.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Do you wake up every day feeling passionately aligned with your goals and dreams? If not, you could be experiencing some emotional or energetic blocks. Cynthia Medina, certified transformational life and health coach and energy practitioner, has been dedicated to the emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being of women for over 20 years. She combines her intuitive knowledge and in-depth training in Ayurveda, naturopathy, meditation, NLP, Reiki, hypnosis, and more to support women to break through emotional and energetic blocks to healing and success. Cynthia is passionate about working with women ready to elevate their self-worth, self-esteem, energy, and health, and who are interested in learning how to create an optimal life and relationships by incorporating key strategies and mindfulness into their day. Visit CoachCynthiaMedina.com for supportive resources.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
This is Kathy Beal, host of Celestial Compass, featuring astrology you can use. Celestial Compass points you to what's going on in the sky and what you can do with it down here on Earth. We also explore fun, effective, and cosmic tools for navigating this adventure we call life. Join me the first and third Monday of the month at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for Celestial Compass. It's enlightening, entertaining, and empowering.
The United States has the highest rate of incarceration in the world. At the Equal Justice Initiative, we believe mass incarceration has to end. There is this presumption of dangerousness and guilt that gets assigned to Black and brown people. We have to confront our history of racial injustice and commit to a new era of truth. There's something better waiting for us, something that feels more like freedom. Truth can inspire change. Please learn more at EJI.org.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining me on the Inspired Conversation Show. With me today is Janet Nestor. So Janet, right before that break, we were talking about, you said something about it opens us up. For me, it opened my intuition walking this path.
Now, absolutely.
Yeah, everything I do, and people go, oh, wow, you must have a hell of a business plan because you have six media brands and all this. And I'm like, no, I just follow my divine guidance, which because I built that relationship with my inner self and my connection to my source and built the trust muscles over time of trusting that intuition, everything mm-hmm. I do, I say is spirit led, meaning it's led from the inside out. If I receive something now, I know to trust it. I've published 19 books, the 20th one's coming out this year. And Janet, every single title of every single book, I waited to receive what the title was going to be before I would announce the book.
Right.
I could have went into my head and said, oh, I got to get this book title out there. I never would. And we had a wait list in back in, I think, 2018 or 19. And people were like, Lynn, you haven't announced the book yet. And I said, well, I haven't received the title yet. Some people must have said, what the hell is she talking about? Just pick a title. It's not how I operate. And so I'm sure you have experienced that same thing of this divine, this connection and dance with the divine.
Absolutely. I mean, life is a dance with the divine, I think. You know, it's just that we have to open our awareness to that we're there, that we're dancing. You know, a lot of us don't know we're dancing. And I think that that's what, you know, mindfulness does. We actually know that we have a choice and we can dance. You know, we can dance with the divine. We can dance with our higher self, which is, you know, the divine. We can do what we were meant to do, which is what you're doing. It's what I'm doing. I know every book that I write, you know, I guess I learned this years ago when I first started my counseling career. I was working with a lot of students and a couple of faculty from the North Carolina School of the Arts, all highly creative, talented people. And I'm so glad that they came into my life because they taught me something. Nothing can be created. No art can be created out of your mind. Art is created out of your heart and soul. And for each of them to do their art, they had learned to channel that energy into themselves and into their creations. You know, that's what you're doing with your work and with your magazine and your books. And that's what I do with my writing. You sit down and wait for the energy to tell you what comes next. You know, what goes inside this book comes from my soul, comes from my heart, not from my head. And I think every artist, who's ever come into my life, even though they might have come because of anxiety or depression, but they already are open. That channel has already opened because they are artists. And so it's so much easier for them to take the next step. So I think the next step for all of us is just remember that we're all creative. We're all an artist. We all have that channel inside of us. And it's just a matter of choosing. I want to walk a path that makes me happier, that empowers me, that makes me feel good and happy and joyful. And to do that, we have to let that flow come into us. And then we begin to blossom. And, you know, we don't know where those blossoms are going to take us, but trust is the thing. We all, if that divine guidance is coming into us, it can only take us to a positive place. It will never take us anyplace else. And that's the beauty exactly. of the whole thing.
And I love that you use the word blossom, because years ago on the about page of Aspire, and I'm going back like over a decade, I had written, a seed was planted in my heart, mm-hmm. and I chose to nourish it. And today she being Aspire, has blossomed into the leading inspirational magazine for women. So that word blossom always meant something to me, because that's what it felt like. Like I was giving, and this is for everybody, you're given a seed, meaning an idea or something that is meant for you to bring into this world. And it's your choice if you will honor that seed and nurture it and fertilize it so that it can blossom and change lives. And that's like what you've done. But I believe we all have that power, but some of us, we don't notice that the seed was planted, and we don't believe that we have the power to bring it to life, right? To nurture the blossom. And right. So that word has always spoke to me, because that's how I feel about Aspire and the vision that was put in my heart. You know, I could have let my mind say, Linda, you have no publishing knowledge. You don't know anything about starting a magazine. I had just closed a successful business and was in transition. I'm like, I don't want to do a magazine, this damn vision that keeps waking me up every night for 3 months. And I chose to trust it and keep trusting. And every time, and this is for the listeners who go, well, I don't know how to do it. All I did was keep taking the next best step. And every single time I did that, the next step was revealed. But if I had waited to have the whole plan mapped out A to Z so that my ego could feel safe, nothing would have happened. I wouldn't
have. Nothing would have happened. Yeah.
Yeah. And I watched you long enough to know you create in that energy too.
I absolutely do. I think that's the only way that we can create. Is there time for me to read this little poem?
Yes, there is. We have about 2 minutes left. So yes, please.
It's my favorite poem from Pathways to Wholeness. I wrote it in about 5 minutes after a walk one day. It's called As I Walk, I Am. Earth is my home. Her foliage brings softness and beauty and provides the breath of life. Everything about her brings attention to divine beginning. My footsteps touch her peacefully, and I know my eyes gently focus on everything and nothing, and I see my mind is quiet and free of worry, and it refreshes me. My breath flows softly in and out, and my senses are heightened. My body is alive as I fully experience my wholeness and the miraculous nature of each footstep. My awareness is expanded, and I acknowledge and honor the presence within me. My being merges with all that there is, and I am at home. My totality celebrates life. Creation is a part of me, and I am a part of her. As I walk, I am.
Janet, I could feel that rippling all the way down in my soul. That is so beautiful.
Thank you.
I feel the sacred intention behind your words. Thank you, my friend, for that. What a beautiful way to close out our conversation. I am so grounded in my body right now. Thank you for that sacred gift.
Thank you for inviting me today. I'm blessed to be here with you, and I'm so glad to have shared this hour with you. Thank you, Linda.
You're welcome. And until next time, ladies, I want to invite you to visit mindfulpathways.com. Check out everything Janet's doing in the world. And of course, grab a copy of Pathways to Wholeness. Until next time, choose love, choose joy, choose happiness, my friends. Blessings.
Thanks for listening to Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy. Join our sacred space every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern and meet leading female visionaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. Inspired Conversations with Linda Joy is a soulful venue where guests share the obstacles they've overcome, along with wisdom and lessons learned on their personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic and soulful living.